If this is the kind of news that keeps you up at night, not to worry, we can help you with that. Some insomnia researchers, meeting at the National Institutes of Health, have come to a new consensus about what helps us to sleep. The treatment that they say works does not involve taking a sleeping pill. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on talk therapy.
It's called cognitive behavior therapy, and Harvard psychiatrist Greg Jacobs practically sounds like he's testifying in favor of it.
Cognitive behavioral therapy has been shown now in federally funded research and meta-analyses to be as effective for insomnia as sleeping pills. The problem with cognitive behavioral therapy, it's not widely available.
There are fewer than 100 certified therapists in the country. Researchers at Duke University are trying to bring a condensed model to primary care doctors so more people have access. Greg Jacobs has spent the last 20 years fine-tuning and testing CBT. The first thing he does with patients is to give them a quiz. The point is to clear up their misconceptions about sleep. The first question he asks is, do you think people need 8 hours of sleep a night to stay healthy?
A lot of insomnia patients think that's the case. Actually, three major studies now have shown that people who live the longest sleep 7 hours a night, not eight.
Next question is, do you think you're accurate in estimating how much sleep you get each night?
Insomnia patients are not. They're getting more sleep than they think.
The other main teaching tool is a 24-hour sleep diary. Jacobs has developed a computer program to analyze patients' entries. It's something people might eventually use on their own.
This will show how many nights you're not awake for more than a half hour during the night, increases in your total sleep time, and if you're using sleeping pills, reduction in your sleeping pill use.
The beauty of the sleep diary is self-awareness. Bill Moorcroft runs a sleep clinic in Fort Collins, Colorado, and has been using CBT for several years. He says with sleep diaries, patients are tracking their results every day.
It's been learned that when people pay attention to their sleep and actually write down what's happening, sometimes they realize it's not as bad as they thought.
He says the sleep diaries really give patients a true picture of sleep and help them clear up misperceptions. That's the cognitive or thinking part of CBT. Next comes changing behavior. Moorcroft says it's usually bad habits that keep us awake.
And so we turn those around, reduce the bad habits, increase the number of good habits, and teach them how to have some control over their mind and their thoughts and their attitudes about sleep.
Patients are told to go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. No TV or reading in bed. And when they do have those nights where they can't break free from a restless mind, he tells them, get out of bed.
When you're in bed, you're there to sleep. So that bed becomes firmly associated with sleep and nothing else.
Moorcroft teaches patients who continue to struggle with a restless mind to sort of schedule worry time during the day. They're told to keep journals and jot down concerns and anxieties as they have time to think about them.
Spend half hour a day just writing these things down and processing them. Then at night, if these worries pop up, they can say, I don't have to worry about you now. Go away. I took care of you during my worry time.
So, say you're in bed, you've silenced your worries, and it's time to relax. Learning how to unwind is part of the behavior therapy. The technique Moorcroft teaches is a form of visual imagery, akin to counting sheep. He has his patients memorize and repeat a little vignette in their minds. The story starts with them envisioning themselves at the beach.
I feel the bright warm sun on my face. Then I walk down a small embankment to the sand. Eventually, I close my eyes. I listen to the waves. So that's the end of it. I skipped through some parts.
That's all right. So I could potentially by then be asleep. I might be asleep here in the studio.
Yeah. Most people, I tell you, once they learn it, they say, by about the time I get down to the small embankment, which is the second of three paragraphs, they're gone. They're asleep.
Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.
And that's our health news for this morning.